Welcome once again to Resolved. We all encounter difficult issues at times. Life can get tough, and it may seem impossible. But no matter what, Jesus Christ is the answer, and through Him, we can rise up and be more than conquerors. Now, let's join Pastor Tom Porter.
Let us look together at the life of Barnabas. Barnabas was a Levite. He was born in Cyprus, and all priests in the Jewish nation were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. Barnabas was a Levite. His actual name was Joseph, but the apostles gave him a name because the name Barnabas means the son of encouragement or son of consolation. He was tall, physically strong, powerful man, but gentle in speech and gentle in manner. He seemed to like nearly everyone, and nearly everybody liked him. There are many different types of people in a church that make it fully functional and make it fully healthy. There are eloquent speakers, Bible expositors, and strong leaders and volunteers. Open the God's Word this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Romans 12. Here's a wonderful picture of how the church, the body of the church, fitly joined together. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, where prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. But in fact, many times, the development of our more recognized preachers and church leaders could not happen, listen carefully, without a patient mentoring, discipling of those who work behind the scenes. An example of complementary roles in action, the relationship between Barnabas and Paul, two men whose lives were intertwined while preaching the gospel, and we readily acknowledge that the staggering contributions of both Paul and Barnabas, but especially Paul, who wrote more of the New Testament than any other writer. He was a dominating figure in the New Testament, but what we should consider is the role of that Barnabas played in helping Paul mature as a brother. It is likely that Paul would not have grown into a spiritual leader had he not come to know and have help from Barnabas. I thank God for the ones in my life that discipled me and helped me, and I'll never forget it. Liberty Baptist Church, then it was Metropolitan Baptist Church in St. Petersburg, Florida, on 4th Street there, and going out on visitation, and this man named Bill, I don't know his last name, but his first name was Bill, and taking us out on visitation as a high school student. I still remember those days. Hey, what happens to a life when we disciple them and we ground them in the fundamentals of the faith and no telling what God can do. But we got to get those spiritual roots grounded in the Word of God in those individuals' lives so that they can be used of God and they can have a will for their lives that God would give to them and they could be excited about going on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to your Bibles now to Acts chapter 4. We'll be in Acts now. Acts chapter 4. With the help of Barnabas, it was said of the early church in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and with one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. My family, growing up, we had a motto in our family. My mother gave it to us all. Does your family have a motto? Our family had a motto. We're a loving, caring, sharing family. That was our motto. And we reminded each other when my brother wanted that donut, that last donut, and my sister had it in her hand. We reminded each other, what kind of family are we? We're a loving, caring, sharing family. Let's look at Barnabas' earliest influence. Here's the conversion of Saul, okay? Saul, who's now called Paul, written about 15 books of the New Testament. And Saul, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out-treatings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. You know, people back then were called people of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. If you were a Christian, oh, you're of the way. You're of the way. Isn't that interesting? And he said, if we find any of this way, whether they be men or women, that we might bring them bond into Jerusalem. Man, he was a wicked man, signing death warrants and torture to believers in Jesus Christ. God can save Paul. God can save anybody. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know what? If those wicked sinners out here that persecute the Christians, they're persecuting Jesus Christ. They pick on you, they're picking on Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't be picking on Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus. Verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Notice he called him Lord. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling, Paul trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou hast to do. And you know the rest of the story. Paul's conversion right here. Oh, my soul. The disciples in Jerusalem, they were first afraid of their new brother Paul. They did not believe in his conversion. Would you? Man. It'd be like somebody like Saddam Hussein or something like that. And we'd be going, oh, now he's a Christian. Oh, really? Yeah, right. God can save Paul. He can save Saddam Hussein. He can save whoever. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. So look at verse 26 of chapter 9. And then Saul was come to Jerusalem. He essayed or tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They just thought Paul was trying to infiltrate their inner circle. Oh, he's just trying to get in. What we may not have noticed previously is that Barnabas is identified as the one person who reached out to Paul and helped him gain acceptance in the church. Look at the next verse, 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he testified. Listen, let me tell you what Paul's done. Barnabas made an effort to get to know Paul. He made an effort to learn about his dramatic change of heart. And he made an effort and he accompanied him to meet the apostles. Now that's discipling. That's discipling. Find a new convert, then get them to meet the family of God. Have a barbecue. I'm from Arkansas. We like barbecue. Have a barbecue. Invite the Sunday school teacher that would teach this individual. But you might lead somebody that's 22 years of age. You need to have them come over to your house, have a barbecue or a spaghetti dinner. Relationships will happen. And only God knows the great things that will happen to them if they give their life totally over to the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens. You lead them to the Lord and then you bring them to the house. You have a little fellowship. Hey, this will be your Sunday school teacher. But, you know, and then they'll just say, well, that's great. And then, you know what? He's teaching the class. And then get them in. Any level. That's the start of discipleship. In Acts chapter 11, the gospel message was preached with great success in Antioch. And when the word of the progress reached the church at Jerusalem, Barnabas was sent to Antioch to help the cause. True to his name, Barnabas proved to be the right man for the job. Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Look at it. Who, when he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad. Are you not glad of the grace of God in your life? Man, I certainly am. I am certainly glad of the grace of God in my life. But for the grace of God, there go I. And he exhorted, he taught them with all purpose of heart. that they would cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas was a perfect fit as a leader for Antioch's zealous group of recent converts. Now look at verse 24. For Barnabas was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. However, the growing church in Antioch needed more than just one experienced leader to handle the workload. So Barnabas sought out Paul. Acts 11, 25 through 26, it just tells us that Barnabas went to Tarsus to find Paul and then convince him to join the efforts there in Antioch. And although Paul had returned to his hometown, he went back to his hometown because the heat in Jerusalem was too great for him. He was still battling some persecution because of his past life. Barnabas realized Paul had too much ability not to be on the front lines of speaking out the word of God. Barnabas saw the potential in Paul. A discipler must strive to see the potential that's in a new convert. My only definition for potential is this. You women are blessed to have Avon and Mary Kay. You see, us men, we could be born pretty homely and pretty ugly. And outside of being really strange, we're going to look pretty plain and pretty ugly. That's just the way it is. It's a guy thing. You girls that are born plain and plain, you can take that Mary Kay. I've seen the trans. I've raised two daughters and married to a wife. My wife sold Mary Kay. My wife's an esthetician, a skin specialist. It's amazing the transformation that happens in that little room. They go in one way, and they come out another way. And I like the way they're coming out. I love it. I love it. The story of two girls were out in front of this real nice restaurant. This ugly guy comes walking out, picking his teeth with a toothpick. One girl said, "Woo, he is one ugly guy." The other girl said, "Well, he sure is. Bless his heart." And he went over and opened up the door to his Ferrari. One girl said, "You know, he might be ugly, but he's got potential." You might get a convert that's a drug addict, prostitute, drug pusher. Not too pretty. They got potential. You got to recognize that. You got to do something with it. Encourage them in the things of the Lord. That's what Barnabas did. So they're on their first missionary journey. They shared their experiences in Antioch. They laid the foundation for their team, approaching the preaching and the missionary field. And their message were often communicated together. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 43. Go to Acts chapter 13, verse 43. The first missionary journey. "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue on in the grace of God." Now look at verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.' Both the words of encouragement to the believers and rebuke to the unbelieving were delivered as a team, Barnabas and Paul. But they split up. There was a disagreement. It happens. Sadly, the last incident recorded concerning Barnabas is one that we most of us remember. In Acts chapter 15, it closes the story of Barnabas and Paul. They're arguing over the selection of their teams. Who's going out on this missionary journey? Barnabas has insisted on taking John Mark with him, while Paul refused to travel with John Mark. We can easily make the mistake of assuming that Paul was right and Barnabas was wrong, but that's not the case. After all, we only read about Paul's explanation because he's the writer. But before rushing to a conclusion, we should consider what we have learned about Barnabas. As the son of encouragement, it would seem only natural for him to provide a fellow brother with a second chance. To be an effective discipler, you need to be forgiving and offer a chance of restitution or a chance of restoration. A good discipler is one who will encourage converts not to quit and live out their life for Christ. Well, I'm so glad for coaches and people in my life that say, don't quit, don't quit. Well, have you ever wanted to quit? I have. But this same John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. Paul mentioned John Mark in the closing remarks in the Colossians. He says, Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. It seems quite probable that Mark, referenced to both in the Colossians and also in 2 Timothy, is the same Mark's in Acts. If that is true, then John Mark remained faithful. He didn't get upset. Well, I'm just going to quit. I'll quit the mission field. Paul doesn't want me. I'm out of here. Boo, hoo, hoo. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to the garden to eat worms. No. Barnabas said, oh, no, come on. You know, Paul, he's just that bold, brash guy. Come on with me. And we'll do a work for God. And that's what a good discipler does, is encourage when you're down. And Paul knew that John Mark, at the end, he was somebody that he could depend on. Perhaps the separation of Barnabas and Paul was also a matter of timing. Paul was ready to move on to other challenges that God had in store for him. So see the vital importance of discipleship. God has a plan and a will for every believer. The Apostle Paul, Barnabas, you. We as a church must believe that. We must work hard to help people to have a meaningful relationship with their Savior. That ought to be our focus around here. Hey, they're new. They just got saved. Glory to God. We all rejoice. The angels in heaven rejoice. But then we don't leave them. We got to get on them in a loving way and get them plugged into Sunday school and meet with them and spend some time, some energy, whatever it takes, to nurture that new Christian and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord and say, God's got a great plan for your life. Let's find out what it is and get them excited about it. Too many Christians mope around, come to church. Bless me if you can. I'm here, but I don't want to be here. Man, to know the will of God in your life and to be excited, there's nothing like it. There is no drug in the world. It's awesome to live your life with a purpose, with a focus. Some of you this morning would make a great discipler. You have years of experience and wisdom from God how to handle life's problems. So let us all go forward in one accord with the purpose of the church ever before us, to win them, to disciple them, and to train them. Train them to do the work of the ministry.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Tom Porter of Temple Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. I would like to thank you for joining me in this podcast and bringing the good news that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. There is no problem too big and no blessing too small when Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I would like to ask you a question. When you die, where will you spend eternity? Will you spend it with Jesus forever or be eternally separated from Him? You know, the Bible says, "Whosoever calleth upon the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from their sins." You know, it's God's desire for you to have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Your sins have separated you from God. You must admit to God that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Jesus bridges that gap between you on this earth and heaven. Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior today? It's easier than you think. You can pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I realize that you paid the penalty for my sins on the cross, and I want to receive you into my life right now. Save me from my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, then you've been born into the family of God.
That's our program for today.
Thanks for listening to Resolved. Please visit us online at www.templebc.net. And remember, Jesus is Lord. So take care, and God bless you.